Coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live with you today. This is the talk show Hell Hates. And the more you listen, the more you know why. Apparently, John Hagee doesn't believe it either. He doesn't believe it. He's put out this stuff about the four blood moons or the whatever. Four blood moons. He's put all this information out there. He's still got it on his website. You go to the homepage of John Hagee Ministries, and he's still doing the final blood moon thing at Cornerstone Church Sunday, September 27th. And he's still beefing it up, hamming it up. But the blood moons, oh, the blood moon's going to be bad. Oh, it's going to be this, going to be that. And I don't think he believes it either. I mean, he made money off of it, but I don't think he believes it. Here is a screen grab from his website today. And he's got plans for October the 23rd through the 25th. Going to have a Feast of Tabernacles celebration. Hallelujah. With none other than Joel Osteen. Now, Joel, remember, don't say anything negative while you're there. Don't say anything about John and the four blood moons being wrong. Don't say anything about how many wives John has had. Don't say anything about that. Just be positive and say nice things to everybody and sell a lot of books, because that's what Jesus wants you to do. I don't buy it. I do not buy this four blood moons thing. I don't fall for it. I'm not falling for it. The Bible doesn't say a thing about it. And I don't know how many times I say this. Some people just don't get it. If it's not in the Bible, it does not exist. If it's not written there, if you can't read it plain upon tables, that doesn't mean like your kitchen table or your coffee table. That means the tablet. Doesn't mean your iPad either. The tablets, the tables that they rolled out, the paper that they wrote it on. God instructed, who was it? Hosea? One of the prophets, to write and make it plain upon tables. Paul said, for we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. Are there symbolisms in the Bible? Absolutely. And I'm in the process right now, getting ready for the next Watchman broadcast, of trying to understand in a greater way certain symbols and symbolisms in the Bible. And it may delay the next Watchman, because if I'm not done, if I'm not ready, I'm not going to record it. If I don't know, I can't say. And this thing about four blood moons, it's not in the Bible anywhere. That pattern does not exist. And it's the same way with the Shemitah or whatever. Those patterns do not, God never said, count, you know, these Shemitahs and then bad things are going to happen for Israel or whatever. God never said that. He makes his prophecies plain upon tables so that he may run that readeth it, the Bible says. And apparently Hagee doesn't believe it either. He plans on getting a lot of people in, a lot of money in on the end of October. I plan on going to Jimmy Carmichael's Chili Cook-Off the first weekend of October. That's what I'm planning on. Anyway, good to have you with us today. Just thought I had to throw that in there. I tweeted a little bit late. I try to get my tweets in by about 11 o'clock, get everybody kind of thinking about the broadcast today, trying to awaken hell so they can hate what it is that I'm doing, shut our internet connection down or crash my computer or overload the circuits or whatever it has. And it does it usually just about the time I'm about ready to start talking. I've had cucumbers for lunch in my salad, so just bear with me today. But anyway, I tweeted today about the real reason why Kim Davis is in jail right now. And since last weekend, when she was thrown into jail, I attended the transgendered rally in my hometown last Friday evening, Friday afternoon. They put it on for 5 o'clock specifically at that time so that they could catch the evening news, the local evening news broadcast. And the Fox affiliate of St. Louis, the NBC affiliate of St. Louis, the CBS affiliate of St. Louis, they were all there with their big trucks and their satellites and their cameras and everything like that. They were there capturing it live, people doing live feeds and so on. And but anyway, that all of that happened this weekend, and I tweeted about Kim Davis, the real reason why she is in, I'm going to turn my volume up just a little bit. There we go. The real reason why she is in jail right now. And a lot of good things, a lot of good things have been brought up in social media and so on. Why is it that she has been put into jail and not allowed the opportunity to post bail and get out? Murderers, gangsters, armed robbers, rapists, child molesters, all have the opportunity to post bail and get out of jail before their trial. They all have that opportunity. For some reason, Kim Davis is not being afforded that. Now, I don't know much about the law and how all that works. I try to stay out of the jail system, whether it's in this county, the state of Missouri, whatever. I try to stay out of that. But why isn't she allowed to be bailed out? I'm sure there's plenty of people in this country that would fork over the money to pay her bail. Why isn't that happening? By the way, Governor Mike Huckabee, is going to be in Rowan County this week. I'm not sure exactly what day. Maybe today. I don't know. I've seen that on the news and so on, and a friend of mine reminded me of this. He said, maybe you ought to do a PMO from there. And I thought about it. It just didn't seem like the right thing. Pastor Reg Kelly, I hear, and several from his church are going to go out to Rowan County in support of Kim Davis and what she's doing and what's going on. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why she's in jail right now. There's a biblical answer. See, if it's in the Bible, then it's right. There is a biblical reason why she is doing what she's doing. And I'm going to show you that from the scriptures here in a little bit. I got a couple news stories that kind of go along with Kim Davis, kind of go along with the video I made at the transgendered lifting up Lila. His real name is Noah, by the way. I'll talk about that in a little bit and talk about what I've seen. If you have not seen the video, I'm going to caution you before you watch it to be ready. There's a dear, sweet lady in our church, and she and I were talking about it Sunday night, and I said, don't watch it. And I said, I know what's in here. I said, it made me sick Saturday putting it all together. And I said, I'm telling you, you don't have the constitution for it. Don't watch it. And she said, okay. But we're going to talk about that. And before you watch it, make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you're ready to see and hear what it is you're going to see and hear. Make sure that you are, make sure you are not in the company of your children. I'm not one who believes in sheltering children from everything in this world. I do not believe in that. I'll tell you why, for this reason. The Bible tells us as parents to train up our children in the way that he should go. Training involves, think about what they do in the military. If you were to join the Army, if you were to join the Marines, they don't shelter you from combat until the actual combat starts. They don't do that. What they do in a protected way is that they train soldiers with other soldiers, soldiers who are all on the same side. And they will use blanks. They will use various means of sort of reenacting a battle scene or a whatever, some sort of invasion or whatever it is, but it's all done within the confines and the boundaries of safety and so on. You don't want to kill the guys in order to train them, but they will train them in a protected way so that when they are first put into combat, that training is what kicks in place. You see what I'm saying? Lisa and I talked about this several years ago as we were raising our daughters. I wanted to shelter them. And, I mean, it's not that Lisa and I disagree on this. She's just got a wisdom that I don't have. And we talked about it. We said, you know what? We're not going to shelter them from everything. We're not going to throw our TV set out, turn off all the radios. We're not going to live in a little house on the prairie somewhere. If that's what you do, then amen, praise the Lord. But that's not what God told us to do. And so we decided that there was things that they were going to have to deal with in life as young adults. It would be better for them, for us, to train them in a protected, limited way so that when they got to real life, without the protection of mom and dad, their training kicked in. And it has worked. I mean, it has paid off. All three of my girls work here. And you know, we have the grandchildren here every day. Praise the Lord. They're not perfect. Oh, no, 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 no. But the mistakes that they have made, the training kicked in. And it worked. And so you may or may not want to filter this for let's say, I don't know, your teenager or whatever. But there is some language on here that I did not edit out. There are some scenes on here. And the actions and activities of certain people on that video that you as a parent should make the decision whether or not your offspring should be able to watch this thing. It is posted on my YouTube channel. I say a thanks and appreciation to probably more than 50 people who wrote me an email and said, Pastor, we're willing to post this on our account, on our channel. And I appreciate that. That way, if anybody took offense and YouTube wanted to take mine down, they've got to deal with yours. It's like whack-a-mole. Every time you pop a mole on the head, there's another mole jumps up. I don't know if you've ever played that game or not. But anyway, I appreciate everybody doing that. If you have not seen the video, if you can handle it, go watch it. I'm going to use the word queer. You're going to see a lot of queer stuff. On this, a 38-minute video, I whittled it down from, I'd say, probably an hour and a half worth of actual video. What I did was I turned my camera on, and it's got a shotgun microphone. It's directional, and it'll record audio in the direction that it's being pointed. It does a pretty good job. I like this little camera. I bought it used, but I like it. And I just walked around, left it recording, in order to get everything that I could, and I knew that I was going to go back and cut stuff out, like me walking around or whatever. That's some of the stuff that got cut out. But anyway, if you have not watched this and you would like to see the unfiltered version of what a transgendered or a homosexual rally looks like, not what you see on the filters of CNN and your local news reports, but the actual gory details of one of these rallies. If you want to see that, then go find that video. The title is called I Am Not a Boy. Now, that may be, you say, well, you know, what's up with that title? The title is based upon what he said. And I actually got in a couple of questions while he was doing, I did not plan on this, but it just felt like the right thing to do. And I asked him, is it okay for men or male students or male teachers to go into the girls' bathroom? And he said, it's not right for boys to go into a girls' bathroom. And I'm not a boy. That's what he said. And the look in his eyes, if you have not seen it, the look in his eyes is beyond description. And there are people who are following his Facebook feed, and I can tell you, this is not a humble young male who honestly feels like that inside of him he was born the wrong gender, and he's striving graciously to reach out for help for people to help him make this transition to a new gender. He is a very foul-mouthed, hateful, evil young man to the extreme. I have seen some of his Facebook comments and his Facebook posts, and I'm telling you, this 17-year-old young man has a very, very evil spirit dwelling in him. There's nothing nice about it. He looked, I got to catch myself. I almost said he looked nice at the rally. That's not what I mean. Scrub that one. He appeared humble and sort of overwhelmed by how much this has come into his life. No, that's not him. I can tell you that's not him. Anyway, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. 30 magistrates in North Carolina are now all of them refusing to conduct homosexual marriages. More than 30 magistrates in North Carolina have refused to perform weddings. But thanks to a new state law, they're able to do so legally. Why didn't other states think of this one? Right after the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in June, the state passed a law allowing officials to opt out of performing all marriages. The law exempts court officials with a, quote, sincerely held religious objection and is designed for those opposing gay marriage. I don't think that every lawmaker in the country is in the Illuminati. I don't think they are. I think there's still some lawmakers in some states that still have a little bit of decency in them to figure that this is the only way that we can do it, then that's how we're going to do it. And they basically pass a law that said if you're a judge of some kind in the state of North Carolina and for religious reasons you don't want to marry sodomites, then you can excuse yourself or recuse yourself from performing marriages simply because it will violate your Christian ideals, your Christian morality, the laws of God, and so on. And I think it's a great thing. The law's original sponsor, Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger, said it's probably preventing situations like the one in Kentucky.
It's keeping folks from having to choose between their job and their religious beliefs. I think that's important, he said.
Berger said so far the law hasn't caused any problems.
I think the law is working very well, he said.
Only Utah has a similar law. Come on, Missouri, wake up! Kim Davis has been jailed by the American government for refusing to submit to the homosexual agenda. This only shows that the time is now coming when Christians are going to have to fight. Now, let me stop right here. I'm reading an article, okay? Do I believe in fighting? Yes, for the right reason. Do I believe in taking up arms? Obviously, I have two of them. No, I do. I believe that there would come a time in this nation that we would be forced to take up arms, and those of us who are true, genuine Christians, we would not be doing so in order to protect ourselves. We would be doing so in order to protect our posterity. That means our children and our grandchildren's future. Because the way that things are going right now in this country, they don't have one. They don't have the country that you and I lived in and grew up in. They won't have the freedoms that you and I are enjoying right now. Now, I think that if revival broke out in America, no such revolution would be necessary. I may talk about that in a little bit, may not. We'll see. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to kind of throw my two cents worth in here. The time is now coming when God is using persecution to sift out the saints from the hirelings. Carly Fiorina, the conservative, quote-unquote, who so many are praising, has proven herself to be a Jezebel, slamming Kim Davis for her righteous decision, saying, quote,
given the role that she's playing, given the fact that the government is paying her salary, I think that is not appropriate. Now, that's my personal opinion,
unquote. This Christian woman refused to submit to the delusions of the sodomites, and now she is behind bars. By the way, isn't it interesting that after the flood, the one group that specifically mentioned word for word in the scriptures after the flood, the single group mentioned by the scriptures after the flood as being the ones who were willing to cohabitate with angels were the sodomites. Think about it. I think there's something there. I think the spirit of Baphomet, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of, and I preached on this Sunday morning, the spirit of those devils that are released out of the pit, having the face of a man and the hair of a woman. And as I'm looking at his real name, Noah, that's what I want to call him, this boy from Hillsboro. As I'm looking at Noah, I'm looking at a spirit. I'm looking at the manifestation of an evil spirit that has the face of a man. You could see it 20, 30 yards away. You could look at this kid and going, oh, that's not a girl. You can see it. I'm looking at the face of a man with the hair. By the way, it wasn't his hair. Well, it may be his hair after he paid $30 for it. But he didn't grow it out of his head. He bought it from somewhere. And he's wearing this hair, and he's wearing this dress with God only knows what he's got stuffed inside of there. And I'm seeing this spirit in him. And it's a very evil, dangerous, diabolical spirit. But think about it. The people specifically mentioned word for word in the scriptures after the flood as being the willing participants of a little party with these angels that went to secure Lot's safety were the men, both young and old, the men of Sodom. I absolutely think there's a connection there. Now, there's a little bit more in this article that I'm going to deal with, and then I'm going to move on to National Public Radio. Here she is in jail. She now joins the ranks of people such as the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet John the Baptist, who came to make straight the paths of the Lord, and the apostle Paul, and probably others. History tells us John, history tells us others, who were imprisoned for the faith of Jesus Christ. And when it came down to choosing man's law or choosing to obey God's law, they chose God's law, being willing to suffer the persecution that comes along with it. And Kim Davis, in our time, embodies exactly that. Now, let me, just so that you know that I'm not naive to this, let me tell you, people, there are Christians all over the world who have been imprisoned, who have been tortured, who have been killed, who've lost everything they've had. I'm talking about in the 20th and 21st century. There have been Christians all over the world who have suffered persecution and, here we go, I'm going to say it, tribulation. They've suffered it. They've been doing it for years. We haven't seen it in America up until now. And here is a lady. And what I think, what really, really aggravates me, and I want you to listen to this. Anytime someone who takes a stand on biblical issues and takes a stand with exactly what the Word of God says, anytime somebody does that, when their enemies come against them, they know that they cannot come against them with the Word of God. So when they come against them, they start going into their past and ripping their life all to pieces and tried to shred them publicly so that no one believes anything they say. They've been doing this to Gail Ripplinger for years. Gail Ripplinger came out. She made a lot of people very angry. Her first book, New Age Bible Versions. I have it. when God convinced me that the King James was right. I got a copy of it from my friend Tim Behrens. I read it, and I said, I knew it. God was right. That Bible's right. She did a tremendous job exposing the new translations, showing what was missing, showing why it was missing, showing the manuscript evidence and so on. She's got a brain and an intellect that I just don't have. And I've heard, I've been to preaching, I've been to fundamental preaching conferences where they ripped Gail Ripplinger up one side and down the other because they didn't like what she said about the King James Bible. Here's the interesting part. If they disagreed with her, why didn't they quote scripture to disagree with her? They can't. They don't have any. So there is a website, I don't know if it's still there. It made me so mad because it was a trick. It was meant to mislead and trick you. There was a website put up. The name of the website looked very similar to Gail Ripplinger's publishing company's website. And if you just by chance happened to type in the wrong thing, you would go to this website that was meant to... put up by a fundamentalist that was meant to expose Gail Ripplinger. Why, I bet you didn't know. She's got stuff in her past. Oh, no. Oh, no. You mean she hasn't been a Christian since birth? Come on, people. What is wrong with us? Or what is wrong with people? When you can't win them or you can't win against them in the intellectual arena because they have all the evidence, hence the Word of God, and you have nothing. So the only thing that they can do is try to destroy her by way of reputation, by going into her forgiven past and making stuff up. They've done it to Gail. They've been doing it to Gail for years. Now they're doing it to Kim Davis. And you just do a Google search of all the memes that are out there about Kim Davis. Type in Kim Davis marriage, and you're going to see some of them. This is evil stuff. They dig into the fact that she has been married four times. Did you know that Jesus dealt with a woman almost exactly like Kim Davis? She met him at a well. And the man that this woman at the well was living with at this time would have been husband number six, but they weren't married. Jesus didn't hit her with a stone and throw her into the well. Jesus didn't say, get away from me, you whore. You don't touch me. I'm Jesus. I'm clean. You don't have anything to do with me. Jesus loved her and preached the gospel to her. She went down there and became probably the greatest evangelist that town has ever seen. She said, you got to come see this man. He told me everything about my life. I think he's the Messiah. I think he's the one we've been looking for. That's Kim Davis. How dare anybody pull up stuff out of anybody's past and try to use that against them simply because they can't win the logical intellectual argument, simply because they can't win because they don't have the scriptures to win it with. And that's what they're doing with. And by the way, they don't even have the law on their side either. They don't have the law on their side. She didn't break the law. She broke a judge's court order. In her mind, the Constitution of the state of Kentucky is still intact, which prescribes that a marriage is between a male and a female, and she could not legally or morally or by God's law issue a marriage license with two men or two women's name on it because her name would be affixed to that, and she would be, number one, violating the Constitution of the state of Kentucky, and number two, the law of God Almighty. She is a hero. She is maybe the first of many of us who will end up in jail or prison or worse because we tried to stand on God's word. Now, let me kind of rehash some things again so that I can specify exactly what I believe about earthly authority because there's people out there on the internet calling themselves Christians who are nothing more than anarchists. They don't want anybody telling them what to do, and they make it spiritual and say, I only obey God. God is the only one who can command me or control me. They make it sound spiritual, but the truth is they're very rebellious and they're anarchists at heart, and they hate earthly government, and that is not biblical. It's not. You're not going to find that in the scriptures ever. One person writes that he doesn't believe that God ever introduced to this world any corrupt government. That is not true either. It's not. The king is in the Lord's hands, the Bible says. God sets up rulers and he brings them down. God is the one who set up Pharaoh. God is the one who set up Pharaoh in the days of Moses. The Bible explicitly says it that way, that God is the one who brought him forth, that used him the way he did so that he could cause Israel and the world to know and see his power and his glory. And so it is wrong to rebel against earthly authority if in your mind the ones who are administrating that authority, let's say presidents or judges or let's say governors or whatever, if you think that authority is not saved, you think that you have a right to not obey that authority. And you're wrong. You are dead wrong. Kim Davis, however, was explicitly correct in what she's doing. She knew, number one, the law of the state of Kentucky. Number two, God's moral law. She knew that. She knew it from the Ten Commandments. She knew it from the law. She's been a Christian now for some 4 or 5 years, something like that. She's heard enough teaching to where she kind of gets it. She understands that the Bible explicitly mentions two men sodomizing one another or two women going after each other like a woman should be with a man. And God specifically forbids that. And she knows that. So she wasn't some anarchist hero who's rebelling against the evil government of the state of Kentucky. She's an elected official working as an official in the government of the state of Kentucky. A voting Democrat, by the way. It's not something you heard Al Sharpton or Barack Obama or Joe Biden talk about a whole lot, or Nancy Pelosi or CNN. It's not something they are willing to admit, that a Democrat revolted against their own party policy. But that's what she did. She said, I am not breaking God's law in order to please an earthly authority. A judge told her, if you don't sign these marriage certificates, if you don't issue them to these two gay men, I'm going to throw you in jail. And she said, I'm prepared for that. See, that's a good heart right there. That's a 1 Peter heart. She had read 1 Peter. I think she read 1 Peter and armed herself likewise. That she was willing to suffer persecution for doing what was right. And I applaud her. I thank God for her. You pray for her. Let's see what happens with this thing. Let me show you this. I haven't made too much of this in a while. In doing the Secret of the Seal series, where I show the seal, the Great Seal of the United States of America on the back of a $1 bill, a seal that has been established now for a couple of hundred years, a seal that has occult leanings in it. There was a rendition of the Great Seal of the United States of America dreamed up or imagined by Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. Two men who were not noted for being good Bible scholars and believers of God's word. They were deists. They believed that God created everything and then said, adios, muchacho, it's all yours. That's what they believed. But interestingly enough, it was Jefferson and Franklin who came up with a design for the Great Seal of the United States of America. And here's what it looks like. Had it been adopted by Congress, that's what we would have had as our Great Seal. And it shows Moses there on one side with his outstretched arms, Pharaoh and his army drowning in the Red Sea, God's pillar of cloud and fire in the background. And surrounding that is the phrase, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Now, Kim Davis, you just... Oh, I hit the wrong graphic, didn't I? Here we go. Kim Davis, you keep on rebelling. You keep on rebelling to a tyrannical judge who wants nothing but an agenda pushed. If this judge cared anything about the state of Kentucky or America or the Constitution or morality, if he cared anything about it, he would have said, you know what? The law's wrong. The law's wrong. And I'm not going to judge on the side of the perverted people of this nation. I'm going to judge and rule on the side of those who honor God. Here is an article about that same judge. This is at ChristianNews.net. The judge who jailed Kim Davis ordered students who opposed homosexuality to be re-educated. There's a word. Oh, wrong one. Da-da-da. Man, I've had two strikes today. Following yesterday's jailing of a county clerk for stating that it is not possible for to obey an order to issue marriage licenses to homosexuals against God's law. That's a long sentence. It is now being noted that the same federal judge also once ordered Kentucky students to be re-educated. They were on the green list. About homosexuality despite their objections. In 2003, the American Liberal Liberties Union, the same group that filed suit against Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis, sued the Boyd County Board of Education to force it to agree to allow, quote, a gay-straight alliance club to meet at Boyd County High School. Now, let me stop right here. I'm going to inject Friday's meeting. My sister is the one who informed me that this was going to take place. I wouldn't have known about it. There is an existence in many high schools across this nation, and it exists in Hillsboro Public High School, a town of less than 3,000. There exists in this school district a chapter of the Gay Straight Alliance. Now, talk about the fusion of opposites. Analyze that title for a minute, Gay Straight Alliance. There is a chapter, the Gay Straight Alliance, that operates out of Hillsboro High School. This organization is governed or ran by primarily sodomites or cross-dressers or trannies. Trannies is the shortened form of a transvestite, which, by the way, let me clear this up. Noah, who now goes by the name of Lila, is a genetic male. He still has the functioning, so I'm using clean words, he has in his body the functioning of a male. He's not transgendered. He has not altered the functionality of his male body to that of a female. He's not had that done. He right now simply is a transvestite. He has adopted a clothing style that is more appropriate for women, females, than it is for males. He puts on a wig of long hair and he wears a short dress everywhere. Incidentally, the word on the street is, and I don't have 100% verification of this, the word on the street is that he, dressing up and appearing as a woman, has a girlfriend who dresses and appears as a guy. I don't understand that. I don't want to. It doesn't get any more twisted than that. It doesn't. I don't know how you could go one step beyond that, but that's just weird. And this is the people now that we're dealing with. This is that kind of spirit. And he was asked about having a gender-neutral toilet. And I think he dodged the question. I think he was about ready to, you see this on the video. I think he was about ready to say, I don't want to use a transgendered restroom. What he wanted is what he got. What he wanted was to go in, and here's what he did, people. You need to understand this, the nature of the debauchery. Not only going into a girl's restroom with other girls, those restrooms, they all have their own little room where the toilet is. Not only does he go in and do that, he goes in during PE. Now, he's a senior in high school. Seniors don't usually need PE, but he goes in to PE class, and he's going into the girls' locker room where they're not all closed up individually. And he is undressing himself in front of other girls who are undressing themselves and then dressing themselves. He is doing this deliberately. And this was the big uproar. But he's trying to make it small, like he doesn't understand. It's no big deal. And I don't know why these people hate me the way they do. I don't know why they're so mad at me all the time. I just don't understand that. I think they get to know me. You're a boy in a girl's dressing room. That's perverted. There's something wrong with that. It's not right. And that's the question I asked him. Would he be okay for other male students to go in the girls' bathroom? No, it's wrong for boys to go in a girl's bathroom. I'm not a boy. But anyway, it's the Gay Straight Alliance that works inside of that school. And it's my suspicion, I don't have proof, but it's my suspicion that the adults who are helping to organize Gay Straight Alliance clubs in schools. It is my suspicion that adults provoked him or in some way pushed him or encouraged him to do what he did. That's what I think happened, because they were there. The heads of the Missouri Gay Straight Alliance was there at the meeting. And I do have, I have recordings of some of their speeches and the things that they said. The adult organizers were there in full support of Noah, who wears a dress and a wig. I think that they pushed him into that bathroom, into that locker room. I know he did it willingly. I don't have any doubt about that whatsoever. He wanted this, but I don't think it was his idea. I think he was led to that. Because he mentioned in his speech before everybody there that he has always looked up to transgendered heroes, people that he's known for a while. And again, I don't know his past, his private life. Matthew does kind of remember him a little bit from his days at Hillsboro High School. I don't have any problem believing that this young man has been preyed upon by male child molesters for years. I don't have a problem believing that. I think that's where it comes from. But anyway, here is this judge. There was a suit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of the Gay Straight Alliance to meet at the Boyd County High School. A number of parents had strongly opposed the group following its initial formation, with approximately 70 attending a school council meeting to speak out on the matter. The school board temporarily suspended the meeting of all student groups due to the controversy over the matter, but the Bible and the drama clubs allegedly continue to meet despite the ban. Students with the Alliance subsequently contacted the American Liberal Liberties Union, which filed suit over the matter. Bunning then ordered Boyd County education officials to allow the Alliance to meet on campus, declaring that they must be granted the same privileges as other groups, including using the intercom during school hours. Bunning wrote in his decision, absent a preliminary injunction, plaintiffs will be unable to meet at school, unable to benefit from a forum for discussion with other students who are suffering the effects of harassment based on sexual orientation, and unable to work with other students to foster tolerance among all students. That was this judge's decision. He comes out on the news wanting everybody to believe that he's just as Christian as everybody else. He's a Catholic. And he wants everybody to believe that I believe the same Bible as you do. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in morals, and I believe in this and that. Not according to this, he doesn't. According to his ruling in 2003, he wants there to be tolerance. He wants there to be affiliation between gay and straight people. What he wants is what all of these sodomites want in this country. They don't want to just live their life unnoticed. Have you noticed that? Most sodomites in America, now that there's this atmosphere of we can come out and it's actually better now, we can actually, movie stars and artists actually coming out now gets them a better contract. That's what Michael Sams tried. It didn't work out so well for him. Michael Sams was a Missouri University football star that right before the NFL draft came out and announced that he was an openly gay football player. He did it right before the NFL draft. I have no doubt that his agent put him up to it. If you announce that you're openly gay, they will have to draft you, or we'll say that they're homophobic. Can you imagine 11, 6.5 feet tall, 300-pound guys apiece, 11 men on a football team afraid of a gay man? Can you imagine? I don't see it happening. It's not homophobia. It's not. They're not afraid of him. But he did that right before the NFL draft, and sure enough, he was drafted. Somebody had to draft this guy, or the NFL was going to look bad, and his agent put him up to it. You know where Michael Sam is now? I have no idea, because he's been kicked off every team he played for. He never put on a uniform in an NFL game. Never did. He wasn't that good. He was drafted simply because he was a homosexual. And so now, in this climate, in this world that we live in, the sodomites don't want to just live their life in peace and harmony unnoticed by the general public. That's not what they want. They want it in your face. They want to declare their sin as Sodom and hide it not, the Bible says. And I saw that. If you saw the video, you saw the two, I'd say mid-teenage girls, probably about 14, 15 years old, twin girls, both of them lesbians. You saw them, one of them and her lesbian lover, hugging and touching one another, looking right at my camera. They knew exactly what they were doing. They don't want to just live their life in peace. They want to live their life in your front yard, in your living room, in your child's bedroom. They want every piece of America that there is. That's what they want. And they're not going to stop until they get it. Tolerance. They don't want tolerance. They don't. Listen, and I saw this, and it's on video. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. I saw that they don't tolerate anybody else. They have zero tolerance for anybody else in the world, but they demand it from you. And I'm going to tell you something. It's okay not to give it to them. It's okay if you don't want to go to the parties. It's okay if you don't want to go to the family reunions. It's okay if you're, maybe it's a touchy subject. It's okay if your sodomite son or daughter wants to bring their partner over for Thanksgiving dinner, it's okay for you to say, no, not at my table. You're still a Christian. It's okay to do that. there are certain people with which we are not to eat with, not to fellowship with. And it's okay to stand your ground. You might be hated by everybody else in the family. You might be persecuted. And you might lose other family members over it. But the truth of it is, they're probably not going to follow you to heaven anyway. You've already lost them. Because they're not going to the same place you are. That's hard to take. It's touchy. But we follow God. Anyway, Bunning also, this is the judge, also required the school district to implement training as part of a... Now, I'm going to finish this. I got a thought here. He also required the school district to implement training as part of a settlement which mandated school staff and students to undergo diversity education. Some of you who work in a place had to endure that. A significant portion of which would be devoted to issues of sexual orientation and gender harassment. Unquote. That's the judge's statement. Now, you want to believe in conspiracies? Believe in this one. I think County Clerk Kim Davis was specifically targeted. I think that. Why? And we know this to be true. Okay? If you know anybody who works in, I'm going to say, higher law enforcement, and by that I mean like prosecutors and things like that. Prosecutors hope to get certain judges in on certain cases because they know how this judge will lean. They know if he's liberal. They know if he's conservative. They know if he's hard on murderers or he's soft on this or whatever. And I think that a full investigation was done by private individuals, private entities, private organizations, and found this particular judge and realized that if they pushed it in this county, then that case would end up in this judge's docket. I think it was deliberate. They certainly had the judge on their side. Here is an article. National Public Radio helps push the transgendered children's book. The children's publishing giant Scholastic. Remember that? Oh, my goodness. One book, Mom. Mom, I want one book. Can you not fork out $2.50 for one lousy book, Mom? Okay? Scholastic, the little magazine we used to get at school, it had all the coolest books. It had the coolest books that our library didn't have. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, oh, that would be cool. That's a look at that book there. Oh, wow. Mom, please, please, can I please have a little book? Scholastic, still printing books, has come out with a pro-transgender book for kids, and they're getting some extra promotional help from taxpayer-funded National Public Radio. The book tells the story of a 10-year-old George who says he doesn't feel like a boy, so he wants everyone to know he's really Melissa. The story is written by a transgendered author and is targeted at young children in the 3rd to 7th grade. See? They don't just want to be homosexual and live a private life. They don't want that. They want to be transgendered sodomites in your kid's bedroom. That's what they want. National Public Radio reports Scholastic sent the book to 10,000 teachers and children's libraries. They also took the author to major book fairs to promote the transgender tale. The NPR report allowed no traditional views about human sexuality to be presented in their story, instead providing only one-sided coverage with a pro-transgender agenda. But the report, let me stop right here. Let me share something with you. My good friend, Pastor Reg Kelly, like I say, him and others are going to go to Rowan County, Kentucky. I've heard this week. God bless them. Reg has dealt with this kind of issue before. He and his church took the chick track called Boomtown, and it's about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. They took that, they sent it to the local paper, they bought however many pages they need of the local newspaper and had that reprinted in the local newspaper. And I'm just going, that's cool. Word got round. National Public Radio sent down a young lady to gather a news story for NPR about these bigots, these homophobes, these racist preacher, Reg Kelly, and his racist, homophobic, non-conforming church, Liberty Faith Bible Church. She sat down with Reg and his wife, and she had this little recorder there and everything like that. And Reg said, now, before we start the interview, I want to ask you two questions, and I'd like you to be honest. She said, okay. And he looked her in the eye, and he said, first of all, he said, are you a sodomite? And she said, no, I'm not. I'm engaged to be married. I just found out that I'm, or she may have been married, but she said, I just found out pregnant with my first child. He said, thank you. And he said, now let me ask you a question. Are you allowed to go back to your editor with any story that does not paint us as being racist, extremist, hate mongers, or anything like that? And she looked at him and she said, no, I'm not. He said, thank you for you being honest. You can start asking your questions. And every question she asked, Reg was reading from the Bible and giving scriptures. And by the time it was all done, she looked at Reg and his wife, and she said, you know, I was sent down here to paint you guys with the brush of your haters, your racists, your extremists, your ignorant country people that don't know better, and everybody ought to hate you for what you did. And she said, I see now that your people, that you're following your religion, you're going along with your religious beliefs. And she said, I'm going to go back to New York and probably look for another job. And I applaud that. But NPR and all these other organizations, they have an agenda. And it's really funny because I didn't catch this. I did not catch this while I'm recording the video. But as I'm editing it and going back over it, I can see people whispering and looking at me right after I started asking the questions. And then when I'm got the camera on all the lesbian teenage girls, somebody's going, he's a conservative. He's a conservative. Oh, he's a conservative. He's a conservative. Oh, my goodness. That's what they believe. I don't know. Anyway, let's see here. This story, NPR. The trick was getting George into as many readers' hands as possible, NPR reports. Critics say books like this will only create confusion for young elementary school-age children. It's challenging enough for normal children to navigate and come to terms with their gender identity, what it means to be male or female, said Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council. Things like this are only going to create greater confusion, add greater confusion to the struggles that are in the ordinary course of things most children will have, he continued. And Sprigg says books like this are not necessarily compassionate towards struggling children because they may even prevent children with gender issues from receiving helpful treatment. It may plant ideas in the minds of those who are struggling in some way, and this is completely unnecessary because what the research shows is that most children who struggle with gender identity issues actually have those issues resolved before adulthood and do not change their gender identity from their biological sex at birth, Sprigg explained. Scholastic's initial print run for the book was 50,000 copies. And the children's publisher has even bigger dreams for George. Their editorial director, David Leviathan, or Levithan, that was funny, compares it to the way they successfully packaged The Hunger Games by making a difficult story about children killing children more palatable to a very large audience, unquote. There is an agenda, people. Now, I mentioned... And I thought of this, I don't remember when I thought of it last night. What is it that compels Kim Davis? What is it that drives her? What is it that, what is she afraid of? And I'm asking legitimate questions here, and I want you to understand. How can I say this? There is one overriding ideology, one in particular, that rules or overrules any other tendency that we might have. A tendency, let's say that we were in Kim Davis's shoes. We would have a tendency, it's in our flesh, to go the easy route and just say, well, you know what? If they're going to do this, they're going to do it with or without me. So I might as well just give them the stupid license and let them go do whatever. Then it'd be up to God to figure out who's right and wrong. There is a tendency in us, in our flesh, to want to take the easy way out and just go along with it. And to be honest with you, we probably have at some point done that in our lives. We've taken the easy way out. And that was the way that, you know, well, we don't want to cause trouble in the family, or I don't want to get fired for this. So we take the easy way out, and that is normal in our flesh. What is it then that overrides that tendency? Is it our love for truth? Is it our zeal for God and country? Is it the fact that we really do hate people who are sodomites or transgender or whatever, which is not true, but is it true that we're afraid of them? What is the one reason why you and I are up in arms over this? What is the reason why Mike Huckabee is going to Rowan County to talk? Is he just running for president? I don't think so. I think there is, because he ought to know that standing up for this will get him votes of very, very conservative people, but liberals will never touch him. What is it? Why is he going there? Why is Reg and them going there? Why would you go there? Why would you go there in support of them? Why would you be willing to stand with her or be imprisoned with her? What is the overwhelming idea of why Kim Davis did what she did and is still doing it? Judge tells her, Kim, if you don't start issuing the licenses and give it to these two guys, I'm going to put you in jail, and I'm not letting you out until you change your mind. What then overrode what that judge said? Because you know what he did, right? He tried to scare her into doing what he demanded her to do. He told her beforehand what the consequences would be. So what is it? Why did she, after hearing what the judge ordered her to do, why did she say, you know what? If you're going to jail me, send them now. Because I'm not signing these papers and I'm not giving them a license. What was that? Well, Proverbs 14 tells us, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, when we start talking about comparisons of our nation with Israel, some people get bent out of shape over that and say, well, Israel's Israel. We're not Israel. America's not Israel. I get it. We're not. However, we were told in the New Testament that Israel is an example to all of us of how God works, how God deals with people, what trips God's trigger. And we're told, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10, he says in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Who's he talking about? He says in verse 1 that our fathers were all under the cloud and under the sea. All passed through the sea. We're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, manna. Did all drink the same spiritual drink. For that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And he said, these things were our examples. He said, we should not lust, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happened unto them for in samples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What is Paul telling you? Paul is telling you that Israel is an example to the entire world. No, you don't have to be Israel for God to be really upset with you. You don't have to be a Jew in order for you to spit in God's eye and think you can get away with it. You don't have to be Israel. Our Apostle Paul told us that Israel was the example to everybody in the world to not be stupid like Israel was. Don't do what they did, because if you do what they did, and listen, God said, they were my people, and I got them. If you do what they did, who are you? So there is a lesson to be learned here. That righteousness, God wrote in Deuteronomy 28, righteousness really does exalt a nation. And every time Israel was on their knees praying and crying out to God, God exalted them and lifted them up. And every time they turned back into their wickedness, God put them under cruel authority. Do we think, as Americans living in the United States of America, do you think that God would treat us any less than he did his own people whom he loved? He said it so in Deuteronomy 7. I didn't call you because you're the best people in the world or the biggest nation. I called you because I love you. Why do we think as people that God won't do to us what he did to Israel when Israel was his first love? And Paul tells us that's our example. So you know what it was? I'm fixing to tell you. The overriding, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful decision maker in Kim Davis's mind was the fear of the Lord. See, the judge tried to throw this at her. If you don't do this, I'm going to throw you in jail. I'm going to put you in timeout for the next 6 weeks if you don't do what I tell you to do. He tried to scare her into doing this. They beat Peter and John. The Sanhedrin beat them, whipped them for preaching in Jesus' name. And they said, Don't you ever preach in Jesus' name ever again. And they looked at him and they said, you know what? Whether we should obey man rather than God, we'll let God make that decision. But when we walk out of here, we're going to preach the gospel. That's what we're telling you that's what we're going to do. Why? Number one, because they loved it. But I think the overwhelming ideology in my mind, in Kim Davis's mind, in all these people now, all of these Americans, even the ones who don't go to church, they have some idea about God and how he governs over the nations. And they don't want the sin of sodomy spreading and encompassing our nation, because down deep in their heart, they know that it's wrong. And number two, God sees it and he's not going to be happy about it. The people that are the most hated in this country, conservative people who see right as right and wrong as wrong, those people there are the best friends to America, because they know that when God has had it, he's going to bring this nation down. And Kim Davis will tell you, it's not, oh, how I love Jesus, but she loves Jesus. But it was the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11 teaches us that spirit comes from the Spirit of God. Now, I will. Some guy climbed all over me one time, because I talked about the fear of the Lord. And he used this one verse. The Bible says he's not giving us the spirit of fear. Huh? How's that make you sound? Huh? And I was just going, oh my goodness. things. What is wrong with people? Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Seventh one, the seventh Spirit of God is the fear of the Lord. So we take this idea now. Go to your software. Look at fear of the Lord. Look at how it was applied. Look at how it was used. The Spirit of God in Kim Davis, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, is what compelled her and caused her to do what she did. Because she's had it in her mind, the judge is going to throw me in jail. That's not going to be nice. I'm not going to be in my house, sleep in my own bed, eat my own food, be with my husband. I'm not going to see my kids or my grand or whatever. I'm not going to see any of that. And I'm going to be punished for standing on the right. But if I go with this judge and sign these documents and put my name on a sodomite marriage, what is God going to do to me? And she feared the Lord more than she feared man. And God is going to exalt that woman. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1. Here's Jehoshaphat. I love Jehoshaphat because he's got the word fat in his name. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God his father, and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established, means he stuck it, he stabilized it, he established it, he put it where it could not be moved or taken. The Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. And you look down in verse 10 of the same chapter. And the fear of the Lord, look at this, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Do you see that? God took his spirit, his Holy Spirit, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and went to all the nations around Judah. And they looked at Judah and they said, we hate their guts, but there's no way in the world we're going to go fighting after them. People, that used to be America. There was a time when America, in her strength, was so blessed and so powerful that no nation ever wanted to take us on. Japan, in World War II, one of their generals declared, we can't invade America. There's a gun under every blade of grass in America. We can't go in there. They'll kill us all. You know what that was? That was the fear of the Lord. And the Japanese were pagans. They were idol worshipers, worshiping the emperor as God on this earth. And they had God put his fear in their hearts of the United States of America. And they would not invade the continental United States. Wouldn't touch them. They got as far as Hawaii, and we drove them back and put them in their place. But that's what happens here. The fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. The Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. Look at that. The Philistines hate Judah's guts. They hate the Jews. And they're bringing them presents. You know why they're bringing them presents? They're looking at Jehoshaphat and they're saying, we're on your side, Josh. We're on your side. Don't worry. We're not going to touch you. Okay? We're not going to get anywhere near you. God put the fear of the Lord on the enemies around Jehoshaphat, and they said, we're not going to go against him because God will kill us if we do. There's a lesson to be learned in this, people. Some of you, and maybe some of you, are on the fringes on this. You're not quite sure which way to go on this, for whatever reason. I get that. But listen to the Word of God. And if for any reason you feel compelled maybe to just go along with the agenda that this world is being under right now, and maybe you're afraid it may lose you some of your family members, or it may lose you your job, just remember, there is something greater to fear than what man can do to you. And that is what God will do to you. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 5. This is, I think, still Jehoshaphat. He set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. Listen to this, judges. Hey, judge out there in Rowan County. Listen to this one, buddy. It's going to stink to be you one of these days. Literally, it's going to stink to be you one of these. Listen, I don't threaten government officials. I don't. That's not right. But I would tell this judge and any other judge in the United States of America, if you don't have the fear of the Lord in you, you start ruling in the wrong direction, there is going to be hell to pay for it. He set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in judgment. Did you hear that? Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. See this judge. I mean, that's a big thing to say he's being bribed. So I don't know if he's being bribed. But he is a respecter of persons in judgment. He's already proven that. In going after this public school back in 2003, by making them have mandatory re-brain training programs so that they love gay people, he's already shown that he has an agenda. And he is a respecter of persons. You know what that means? He is always going to cast a vote for and rule for those who are in the wrong. When it comes to sodomy and transgendered and all that stuff, he's already shown that that's what he's going to do. He is a respecter of persons. And Jehoshaphat set these judges up and said, don't do it. It's not worth it. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in your cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. The clear recommendation of Scripture is to the judges, judge on God's side. Judge after God's judgment. Judge after God's righteousness. If you do, God will exalt you. God will bless you. God will take care of you. If you don't, you should be in fear. Because an authority higher than yourself, and no, I don't believe that's Barack Obama, an authority higher than yourself, the Lord our God, is writing down everything that you just did. And a book of remembrance is being written. And one of these days, all this stuff's going to be read out loud. And you're not going to like it. Job 28:28, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. In the Psalms and in the Proverbs, you have multiple encouragements to people to have a fear of the Lord, to understand that what God can do to you by way of harm and punishment is far greater than what any man can do to you. So the Bible's clear. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of this is why the devil doesn't want Bibles around. It converts people. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring for... By the way, the sin of sodomy is probably one of the most unclean acts that any human can participate in. It's disgusting. It's unclean. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward. So stop and think about this. They had to, in order for the 17-year-old boy, Noah, to go into the girl's bathroom, something had to be removed from his mind. Now, all the guys out there, let's just be honest. When we were 16, 17 years old, the girl's locker room, the girl's bathroom, you probably thought about it. Maybe as a prank, somebody put you up to it. I dare you to go in the girl's bathroom, say hi to everybody, and leave. It's $5 in it for you. That's gas money for the week. It was the 80s. Come on. Thought about it. Why didn't we do it? Why didn't we go into the girl's locker room or the girl's bathroom? Why did we not do it? Wow, they'd scream bloody murder, and they'd go tell the principal, and I'd be kicked out of school for 4 or 5 days. That's exactly right. It was fear of punishment that prohibited you, even against your own nature and your own desire, it prohibited you from doing what you really wanted to do. That kept you from it. See how it works? So how does 17-year-old dress-wearing Noah, how does he make up his mind to go into that girl's bathroom? I read it last week. We already know that this 17-year-old boy named Noah hates Bible Christianity, with the exception of a couple of misused verses that he wants everybody to come under, which is love thy neighbor as thyself, okay, or don't judge people. He doesn't care nothing about God or Jesus Christ or the Bible. Nothing. And so removed out of his heart is any fear of the Lord. And more than likely, he had his adult handlers and sodomizers. He had his adult handlers telling him, go in there. Don't worry about it. We got you covered. We got your back. We'll fix it for you so you won't get in trouble. Fact is, more than likely, there's going to be a lot of money coming from people all over the country going to give you money. I don't know that to be true, but that's just what I think. And so anyway, that's what compelled him to go in there. He has no fear. What happened? Well, we started taking the Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of the school system. So now we know the source of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It is the statutes and judgments of Almighty God. Once those are removed, then the spirit of the fear of the Lord no longer exists to these people. So then they believe they can do whatever they want to do. And they're doing it. Consider the genetic scientists who every single day are making breakthroughs on how to rewrite the genetics of mankind. And at one point, they may have been afraid to do it, but now they don't care because it's nothing to them. They don't have the fear of the Lord, so they're going to do whatever they want to. Psalm 34, verse 11. Who's texting me while I'm doing Pastor Mike online? Let's see here. This may be important. Hang on here. Let's see here. Ooh, just got a call that Kim Davis has been released. Yay! Somebody verify that, okay? Somebody verify that. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, okay? Anyway, Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. You know what I'm going to do? This is breaking news here. Hang on here. I don't see that. I'm looking for it on Drudge Report. I thought it would be maybe the top story, but I don't see it anywhere on there. If anybody here knows whether she's been released or not. Oh, here's another one. Here's an email. Thank you, Darlene. Kentucky clerk Kim Davis to be released from jail. Contempt order lifted. Yay! We're going to have to check out what's going on here. I appreciate all y'all sending that to me. Yeah, there's the article there. Let me print that out, and I'll read that in just a little bit. Let me deal with the Bible first. Bible's first, okay? Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, and he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. God is watching, people. God is always watching. He says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. That's Christ on the cross. Evil shall slay the wicked. Are you ready for that one? Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. God's going to bring a desolation to this country, people. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, there's effect 1, 2, 3, 4. Now let's see here. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine places in the book of Proverbs. Or maybe more. I may have just left some of them out. At least 9 places in the book of Proverbs where it talks about the fear of the Lord and what it is. Proverbs 2:1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See, this is our problem. From the courthouse to the schoolhouse to the church house, a large majority of America has no knowledge of God. And if you have no knowledge of him, you're not afraid of him. And there's way too many people in this country that's not afraid of God. So it leads them to believe they can do whatever they want to do to whomever they want to do. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Did you see that? Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Pride. We're proud. We're proud men who wear a dress and wig. We're proud of it. Son, I'm proud of you. You want to be the little transvestite, you go ahead. By the way, one of the... Everybody that was there interviewing Noah, just I could tell by the way the interviews were going, they were on his side. And one of them, however, probably didn't know the rules or whatever, didn't know the story, but he asked him, is your family been supportive of you? Not really, no. And that's all I'm going to say about my family. They want me to keep them out of it.
Whoa.
His family apparently doesn't want anything to do with it. God hates pride. He hates evil. He hates the evil way. He hates arrogancy. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. God said, I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Do you think maybe if America would wake up and have some sense and get a spirit in them, because preachers started preaching right in America, do you think maybe if America had revival that we wouldn't owe China so much money? Oh, I do. I absolutely do. You see, I hear a lot of people talk, see a lot of things on the internet. I'm not an economist. I'm not. I'm not an economics specialist. I don't understand a lot of how the economy works in this country versus how it works in that country versus how it used to work in the old days. I don't understand all that. Okay. I do know that money belongs to the government. Okay. They're the ones that printed it. We use it. What money I have belongs to me. I get that. I'm just not much of an economist. There are theories about the ruin of America. There's going to be bank collapses, and the Federal Reserve is evil, and all this. And I'm sure probably all that's true. But let's just keep it simple. If America would honor God's moral law, God's commandments, if America would honor them, I don't think we would be in debt to China. I don't think we'd be in debt to anybody. God said, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. That's the fear of the Lord, people. Proverbs 10, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Now, again, remember this. The people in this nation that are rising up, people who are not used to speaking out, people that didn't protest in college, people that haven't marched for gay rights or whatever, people in this country who for a long time have kept their mouth shut, now are rising up and they're saying, this is not right, and we shouldn't have to put up with it. Do you know why they're doing it? It's not to preserve the status quo. It's not. It's because they know that God is going to tear this nation apart. They know that God is going to burn our cities down. They know that God is going to let enemies come into this land. They know that. And they say, we want this kind of wickedness to not be in our country. Why? Because God's going to burn us if we allow it to happen. They know that. Kim Davis knew it. Let me read this. This is fresh. I've not read this before. Kentucky clerk Kim Davis released from jail. Contempt order lifted. This is, let's see here. Where is this coming from? AP, Associated Press. A federal judge ordered Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis be released from custody and her contempt order be lifted Tuesday, but her lawyers told NBC Davis plans to continue blocking marriage licenses for gay couples when she returns to work. Just doing her job. Davis was ordered into federal custody September 3rd after repeatedly refusing to issue marriage license to gay couples, saying it would violate her religious beliefs despite a U.S. Supreme Court ruling against her. Isn't it something against her? In his release order, federal judge David Bunning, same one, ordered Davis not interfere in any way with, quote, efforts of her deputy clerks to issue marriage licenses to all legally eligible couples. And that's an unquote. All of the Rowan County deputy clerks but one, Davis's son, said last week they would issue licenses to LGBT, which stands for lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato couples, and the first couples received marriage licenses on September the 4th. Davis attorneys filed an emergency motion Monday to keep the clerk out of jail pending her appeal, and she also appealed the contempt ruling on Sunday. GOP presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Governor Mike Huckabee were reportedly both on hand at the Carter County Detention Center, having planned to visit Davis in jail before news of her release. We can praise the Lord for that. Don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Apparently, they're going to let her. I don't know. I don't know why they're letting her out. They'd have to see more about it. All right. So if you see something more than what I just read, send it to me. I don't know that we'll get it read today because I still have scripture to go through. But I'd like to see what's going on. Why he just decided he didn't wake up, drink his coffee, and say, "I'll let her out. I'll let her out." I don't think that happened. But we'll see what happened. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26. Oh, I like this. Kim Davis's face. I'm looking at a picture now associated with, in fact, here it is. Let me show you this, okay? Kim Davis's face. Let me make sure you can see what it is here, okay? Here's Kim Davis's face. I want you to look at that while I read this verse. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Do you see any weakness there? I don't. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, people. Remember, I was talking about this last week, about people who are persecuted for the Lord, and God says to us, fear not. And if you're just telling me that in a casual conversation or trying to help me out in some way, you say, "Mike, don't fear. Don't worry about it. Don't have fear." I'm just going, "Would you tell me not to have fear?" If God says to us, "Fear not," you know what will happen? We won't fear. We won't fear what man will do to us. We won't fear what devils will do to us. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't standing there crying before Nebuchadnezzar, pleading for their life, saying, "I'm sorry, Neb, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We should have bowed, and I'm sorry." They weren't doing that. They looked at Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and they said, "We believe that our God will save us from the fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, there's no way in the world we're going to bow before that. You can take that idol and stick in your ear as far as we're concerned. We're not bowing to it. We don't care what you do to us." That's confidence, man. That is confidence. They feared that what God would do to them was worse than being thrown alive into a fiery furnace. That's how much fear of the Lord they had in them. Wow. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And what I like seeing is what I've seen and what we have seen this week or this weekend in Rowan County, Kentucky. Truly, God's people came to her side and said, "We're here, Kim. We know that we can't go into the jail for you in your place, but we're here for you. We will help you. We are praying for you. We're going to do everything we can to get this changed. We're on your side. You're not alone in this thing." And I like that. Because here's why I think a lot of good Christians out there, we're used to just sitting around waiting for somebody else to fix the problems. That's not going to happen that way anymore, I don't think. And I think it's going to get, I think stuff like this is going to cause us to stand up on our own and say, we're not going for this. We're not bowing down to this. We're not going to put up with this. And I think that's going to happen. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There it is right there. There it is. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Boy, I tell you what. This Ashley Madison deal has got a lot of scared people in the United States. I think there's people out there worried to death that their name is going to come to light on that Ashley Madison adulterers list. Josh, what's his name? Just drew a blank. The 19 kids in Duggar. I read R.C. Sproul. I've never read any of his books. Barely know who he is. One of these Christian authors. Everybody buys his books. He had to come out and admit his name was on the list. I think things like this, where God will use some people to make an example out of them and have mercy on them. I don't think God's done with these people. But God will use others to as an example to the rest of us that we understand and say, you know what? If I'm not careful, God's going to get me like they got it. And I don't want that. The fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from evil. You knowing what's inside of you, you know that. You know what wants to come out all the time. But it's the fear of the Lord and what God will do to you that tells you if you try it, if you do it, God is going to get you for it. No doubt. God's going to get you for it. And I fear the Lord. And I've heard sermons and statements from preachers who said, I don't, bless God, I don't have to fear the Lord anymore. Amen. I don't. And I'm just going, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Standing there with a Bible in your hand, telling everybody that now they're saved, they don't have to fear what God can do to them? Are you insane, or you just don't believe the Bible? It's one of the seven, it's one of the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit, people. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is little. Do you remember a day when the Muslims of the world were not out trying to kill Americans? You remember those days? Those were good old days, weren't they? Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Amen. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. You see that? Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners. But, and I'm going to be honest with you, I walked around the trannies for an hour and a half, and I had no inclination to go home and put on one of my wife's dresses. That's right. Don't envy. I did not envy these people. And I'm going to be honest with you. They talk like if they could just get everybody to accept them, then they would finally be happy. And all that they're doing is pursuing their own happiness. I'm a girl stuck in a man's body. I'm a man stuck in a girl's body. And if I let this out and transgender myself, then I will truly find the happiness that I'm looking for. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you what was not stated publicly. There was probably over 100 transgendered, transvestite, sodomite people there. Let me tell you what was never discussed. it was never talked about how some of these people are on drugs. Some of these people fill their mind with antidepressants. Some of these people will end up committing suicide. Some of these people will end up in a life of destitute crime because they have lost all respect for themselves and everybody else in the world. They want you to think that if they let their inner woman come out, then they will finally be happy. You stop suppressing that. But the truth is, these people are never happy or satisfied. Never. How could they be going against the very nature of God Almighty? How could they ever be happy? They're not. The Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even of his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness, a great revenue is right. I read that already, didn't I? Don't let thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectations shall not be cut off. Isaiah chapter 2, almost done with this. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. I mentioned last week that one of the little theories that I got floating around in my head is that the kings of the earth and the very powerful, wealthy people in this world are looking for a way to escape the earth, the planet. I think that one of the ideas of the possibility of opening a stargate or a portal, like with CERN, brings with it the opportunity to maybe look into not living here. Because we know that the judgment of God is going to be poured out. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on this earth. We know that. And I think some of these people know it too. And I think the most wealthy, influential, powerful people, the most gifted scientists, are looking for a way to get off the earth. So Isaiah 2, verse 10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And I read this last week, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. And that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, and which they made each one for himself to worship, and to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. One more. Then I'll look at some of your emails. Isaiah 33:6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. And folks, I'm telling you, the wisdom and knowledge that you gain from the Word of God, that wisdom and that knowledge is going to stabilize you. It's going to give you stability in your life. Remember what James said about a double-minded man. I met a double-minded man. His name is Noah. He wants everybody to think his name's Lila. But he is a double-minded man. He thinks one time that he's a man, another time he's a woman. And he talks about going to the girl's bathroom. Well, let me tell you something. He don't go to the bathroom like girls do. I'm just telling you. He is double-minded, and he's unstable in all his ways. This Bible is a better psychologist than Sigmund Freud. Wisdom and knowledge, what you have gained from the Word of God, what you have gained from gleaning the Scriptures. As we approach ever darker days, they are going to be your stability. You're going to be able to hold it together when no one else can. Let's see here. Katie says, R.C. Sproul is Reformation. I think I know what you mean. Reformation. That is like a revival of Calvinist, is it not, Katie? If I'm wrong, okay, let me know. But he's the one caught with his Ashley Madison list out there. Anna says, "Hi, Pastor Mike. There's a transvestite at my husband's industrial job. They were told that they have to quote unquote respect his decision." One of these days, they will probably go farther than that. His company also sponsors a gay parade in Bellingham, Washington, and has had a float in past parade. Let me tell you how that works, Anna. I lost my train of thought here. Get back over here. These gay and lesbian organizations go to these corporations. Because Ellen now is cool. And they go to these companies and they tell them, we're going to have a gay pride festival in our city. We're going to have a parade. And we want you guys to donate money. We want you to put a float on there. We want signs all over the cities with your company logo supporting us. Or we will put up a picket in front of your company headquarters telling everybody how homophobic you are, how evil you are, and we will embarrass you in front of the entire nation. It's a shake. And like, they learned it from Jesse Jackson and the Reverend Al Sharptongue. That's where they got it from, because Jesse Jackson has been doing it for years. The Rainbow Coalition, going to large corporations, telling them, you don't have enough black people in your front office. You don't have enough blacks hired out here. So tell you what we'll do. We'll hire some blacks from Chicago. We're going to bring them in. We're going to pay them a salary. They're going to march up and down the street in front of your corporate headquarters. We're going to call all the news outlets, and they're going to be filming these people doing this with your company logo out there, unless you give us like $1.5 million and hire some of these people. And these corporations just do it. And Jesse Jackson, I don't know if you know this, him and Al and all these other guys, they're very, very wealthy people. Very wealthy people. Why? Donations to the Rainbow Coalition. Hit shakedown money. It's basically what the mafia did. Mafia go around telling everybody in the neighborhood, you need protection. What do I need protection from?
Us.
Well, where am I going to get the protection?
Us.
So all the businesses in that neighborhood had to give them 25% of the house take every week or every month. It's a shakedown is what it is. Watcher Bob just writes in, Pastor Mike watched the video of the Tranny Fest. The guy playing the guitar was really out there. And he or she said, quote, I'm a mean. Where's my button here? Yep. You see, I didn't make them do what they did. I didn't make them say what they said. I tried to stay out of it as much as possible, just kind of walking around the peripheral. I wasn't trying to incite anything. I'd let them be who they were. And if you've not seen the video, there is a guy. And if you watch the video, I turn the camera around as this guy's getting out of his car and he's got his guitar in his hand. What he said before I could get the camera turned around on him, what he said was, I'm going to use this guitar as a weapon. He got out in his mind that he was going to beat somebody with his guitar. I know it may have just been an expression, but he got out ready to fight. And he's in this little black, I don't even know what to call it. It's a woman's garment is what he's wearing. And he's growing breasts. And he gets up there and sings this. And I didn't put all the song in. It was worse what you heard. It's just it was long. But you heard the words of his songs. You saw the spirit that he had. He walked around the crowd, big smile on his face, looking like he's really happy and all this stuff. And he is a man and a woman in the same mind. He's double-minded. And he is one of these militants, and you could tell that by the song. We're going to fight back. We're going to put our fist in the air, and we're going to fight back. That's their agenda, people. Watch, Bob, I appreciate you sending that in. Ooh, there's a sale at Tiger Direct. Okay, hey, we'll move right on, all right? Ruth says, Pastor Mike, here's an encouraging verse, Psalm 118. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Oh, amen. That's it, people. How many of you? Raise your hands. If you would like for God's mercy in your life to endure forever, everybody raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's pretty good. I would. So I'll fear the Lord. I'll know what God can do to me. I'll know that God will chasten me. God will tear me up. God will expose me if I don't fear him. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress, not in a dress. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And again, your flesh says, oh, yes, you can fear. Oh, yeah, you're a fearful person. I am. When I'm not behind in my little locked room with my camera and my microphone and I'm the only one here, I can be a brave soldier. You put me out in public, I'm very timid. I'm not that brave. Unless God gives me something to say. I had not planned on asking him any questions. I was just playing it by ear. Following this, following that, I saw him. I saw they were talking to him. I thought, let me try to get this on camera, see what he's going to say. And then he starts talking about he doesn't think it's a big deal that you're in the bathroom. You're not seeing everybody's, you know, private parts or anything like that. And just out of the blue, I said, so is it okay then, under your argument, that since there is no exposing of any private parts in the bathroom, you don't see what the big deal is, then why is it not right for other male students to go in that girl's bathroom if it's as decent as you say it is and not a big deal? That's the first thing I thought of. If it's not a big deal then how come other boys cannot go in the girl's bathroom? How come the male teachers cannot go in the bathroom? I guarantee you there's male teachers that want to go in that girl's bathroom. I guarantee you there is in every school in America. Some of them get caught. Why is it not okay? Okay? And I did not plan on that, but that's just what the Lord... And it didn't dawn on me until I'm editing the video. And I did not even hear what he said when he said it. It wasn't until I edited the video and he said, I don't think it's right for boys to be in a girl's bathroom, and I'm not a boy. Looking right at the camera. And I went, wow. Whew. So anyway... When time comes, don't worry, people, because you really won't be afraid. All right. Linda says, just for the record, it was R.C. Sproul Jr. Okay, I don't know the difference. So, if you can help me out with that, all right. Reformation equals Calvinism. Katie, thank you for that. That's kind of what I had suspected there for a while. Okay. Let's see here. What else is going on here, Jim? Maybe Kim Davis was let out of jail because the judge wanted to thwart Mike Huckabee, who was on his way to meet with Davis. The judge wanted to interfere with conservative plans to show support. Not bad. Not a bad theory. could be valid. Well, we'll wait and see what happens. You continue to pray for Kim, pray for our country. The mess that we are in right now, we need God. And I think we're all in agreement to that. God bless you. It's good to be with you. Pray that the Lord leads me as I get ready for this next Watchman broadcast. As of right now, I've got the general idea. I'm dealing with the groves. The groves. And what they were and why they were so dangerous. And I am going to be looking into Bohemian Grove. Okay? But it may take a while. So if you don't have a Watchman next week, I'm still putting it together. All right? You have patience. All right? I'll try to do the best that I can. Good to be with you. I love you guys. You're the reason why I'm here. Pray for us. Because hell hates us. We'll see you.